found a great track there by Hey Kelly McGuinness, and that is Follow Your Dreaming. And talking about Follow Your Dreaming, we're going to shoot up to Larrakia country, where she's still up there. And there was big celebrations over the weekend and commemorations to mark the 50th anniversary of the Wave Hill Walk Off. And then there was 40 years later, the 40th anniversary of Gough Whitlam pouring the sand through Vincent and Gary's hands and giving back the land. But Brenda Croft is one of the descendants of Gurindji mob, and we've got her on the line. And hey, Brenda, welcome to the program.
Hi, Lola. How are you?
Very, very good. Must have been really exciting times, because apparently there was hundreds and hundreds of people that actually turned up for the anniversary.
Yep.
Was that surprising?
Yeah, it was. There was people from everywhere, and old activists and young people who were. I call myself Gurindji, not so much a descendant. I'm just a Gurindji person.
Yeah.
But lots of people who had never been up there or hadn't been back for, you know, decades, which was really fantastic, I think.
No, I think it was. And is it Jimmy Wave Hill? He gave a bit of a speech up there as well, talked about his experiences as a young lad.
Yeah, and as did many of the remaining stockmen, people like Gus George and some of the senior women who also participated on the walk-off, and people who were young children at the time too.
Oh, that must have been incredible. Now, we had the, Senator Patrick Dodson there. We had Bill Shorten came along, and Warren Snowden was there as well. Was there other dignitaries there as well?
I don't know if they're dignitaries, but there were certainly politicians there.
Yeah, sorry.
There were people like Richard Di Natale, the leader of the Greens, Malindiri McCarthy, who is also a new senator, I think.
Yep, she is.
There were, you know, I think of the dignitaries as the people who participated in the walk-off and their actual supporters. There was lots of union mob. Terry O'Shane, lots of the mob from the MUA were up there. Activists, old activists from the Communist Party of Australia, people like Hannah Middleton, who lived out there in 1970 for a year with community at Dagaragu. Lots of the old ABSCOL students from Melbourne came up, who had worked really actively throughout the strike period to come out and help build houses and bring supplies. And so that was, for me, that was the highlight. It was catching up with people like that who'd put in the really hard yards and worked really hard for Gurindji mob.
No, it's true. My apologies. They're the dignitaries, were they?
No,
but it's true. No, it is true, you know. Well, we have to flip it over. I have to keep reminding, flipping it over, you know, to our dignitaries there. But also to the replica of the Bedford truck that Brian Manning and Dexter, you know, Daniels drove during the strike up there.
Yeah, well, the original Bedford truck, you might know, is now going to the National Museum of Australia collection, which is absolutely fantastic. It was placed on the Heritage Register in 2011, but it's been sitting outside in the elements at the old Motor Museum at Perap ever since then. So it's been really just having a deal with the wet season, the dry season, and there's been nowhere to actually store it up here. And because it's part of a national story, I've been working with family and people on the Bedford Truck Committee to try and see if we could get it into the National Museum, because the National Museum dedicated the Gurindji walk-off as one of its 100 defining moments in Australian history, so that seemed the most apt place for it to go, so it's going down there. And so young Brian Manning and the other members of the committee organised for the replica truck to go out there, and Kerry Gibbs, who was involved with his parents back in the early days on the walk-off, was driving in it with Brian and other people, young Brian, so that was really, really wonderful.
No, I think that... now, also, too, I believe Scullion, the Minister, Nigel Scullion, got up and made a speech, and I think he did the 1997 Turn Your Back protest.
Yeah, well, we had one... There was a small group of us as Gurindji members, whose parents and family members had been taken away as stolen gen, because so many of the stolen generations in the territory were taken from the Wave Hill and Victoria River district region, and their descendants live in Darwin and all over Australia, actually. I'm one of them. We wanted to do something that was initially going to be a silent protest, and we did base it around wanted to base it around what was done when Howard refused to acknowledge the Stolen Generations way back, and said that there had been no kind of deliberate cultural genocide. So we worked with some other supporters and activists, non-Indigenous activists, to come up with an amazing design for T-shirts and banners. And whoever was going to be out there, we didn't know if Giles would turn up. As it turned out, he didn't. But we wanted to make a stand, because if you cannot protest at the 50th anniversary of the Gurindji walk-off, then you can't protest anywhere, as far as I'm concerned.
That's true.
That was one of the most significant protests in this country. So, you know, that was why we used it. And we did it not to disrespect the elders, and I talked with family and elders out there prior to and afterwards to make sure that they didn't feel that we had, because we would never, ever do that. It was absolutely directed at Scullion, and he knew it, and that's why he got really rattled.
Yeah, and was people surprised that Adam Giles didn't turn up? Do you think he would have turned up with such a significant event in the history of Australia?
Oh, I think he's probably accepted that he's... I think it would be a huge shock, you know, given that, saying that, you never know what's going to happen in Australian politics, but I just can't see how the CLP would get back in. And obviously it wasn't considered important enough to come out there, but that just is typical of the man and his government, I reckon. So Scullion was the one who received the brunt of the protest, and as it turned out, our small group got up and we were silent, and then we turned our backs when he started talking. And amazingly, then people just started getting up from the crowd and coming and standing with us, and then other people started up a chant, lots of chants, and then we could hear this chant in stereo coming from the other side of the stage and podium, and it was all the MUA union mob.
Oh, really?
Who had been led by Terry O'Shane. It was Terry O'Shane who started up chant, "Aboriginal land always was, always will be." So that was really overwhelming, and I actually got really teary standing out there. And, you know, Scullion just tried to dampen it down, and it was clear that there were lots of people there who are just... have had enough of both the territory and federal government, and also political parties of all persuasions, frankly.
Wow, no, because it started off the whole Land Rights movement up there.
Yep.
People, you know, from the top end right through. But now we see what's happening up there. They're, you know, changing the goalposts now.
They've changed them from day one.
Yep.
You know, even before the Land Rights Act was implemented, it was watered down under Labor.
Yep.
It was watered down under Labor. So we've always had to kind of claw back any kind of concession. And that's what's led to where we are now. And, you know, the T-shirts we were wearing were also a statement, not just about all the Stolen Generation children. They were a direct response to what happened at Don Dale. But it's also saying that our kids have always been incarcerated. They've been incarcerated since the first days of colonisation all over the country. So that's the Don Dale incident is like the outcome of compounded 228 years.
Yeah, no, some people out there are saying that it's war. It's still war that's happening,
here,
and incarcerating our young people. So the protest, how did people feel about incorporating the Don Dale and other issues within this 50th anniversary?
Well, as I said, if there was any place that there should be protests, that was it. I'm not going to sit there and listen to platitudes from politicians, and also I'm a Gurindji person. That's my country. My father is buried out there, and when Scullion, and I'm going to find the exact words he said, because I didn't hear it, because somebody was yelling back at him at that stage, but he made some statement that was along the lines of, people up here are not like people from Redfern. And when I found out he said that, I was so furious, because the original strikers... Now, we think back, I'm just looking at a book, A Handful of Sand, The Gurindji Struggle After the Walk-Off by Charlie Ward, which just got launched out there this weekend, and it looks at everything that's been taken back from Gurindji, which could be a metaphor that's all around the country for all our mob. And there are pictures I've just been looking at with Dexter Daniels and people who are marching alongside the likes of Paul Coe, Saul Bellaire, in Redfern.
Yeah.
In support of the Gurindji. So this country continues to deny the history that exists, and I would claim Redfern any day. We said up there, we're going, we are from here. You are not going to shut us down. You are not going to tell us to be silent. We're using the tools that you've given us, which is the English language, and you can listen to us for a change.
Wow, that must have, wow, that was serious. Also, too, over the weekend there was a big festival happening up there too. How was
yeah.
that?
And we didn't, you know, we made sure that that was the main focus. When we marched at the end of the march. We did not go at the front of the march. And so we participated in, you know, I'm up there with family and we went along to all the different things that were on, the football, you know, there was the biggest mob from Central Australia came up for all the footy, basketball, softball that was on. There was a music festival, you know, with performers like Dan Sultan, who's got Gurindji connections up there, Shane Howard, who everyone just adores, the Mills Sisters, you know, there was a big program there, fantastic visual arts program. There were great political talks. A lot of the old activists spent a long time talking out at Dargaragu, which to me was some of the most interesting stuff that was going on, getting a chance to hear people who have been there, and also not just talking about what was in the past, but what can be done from here on in. And I know that Union Mob are really, really keen to galvanise that and not just, you know, stand up every anniversary, every 5 years and say, oh, we were there. It's like, what can we actually do now? How can we work with younger Gurindji people? And you had all mob from down south. It was lovely. It was it's not so much just a celebration, it's a commemoration of that really hard struggle. And I think that's really important to remind people of that. It's not just about, you know, yay, we've done it and there's all fireworks. It's one step on a very, very long journey.
Also, too, people met did they go to Victoria River, you know, where the campsite was?
Oh, yeah.
They were there too. So you had did they have a ceremony there or discussions there?
That's where the speeches were. Because you do the reenactment from Kalkarindji down to the river.
Yeah.
And then the main speeches were down there. There were tours out to Jimparak, the old Wave Hill station. There was stuff at Dargaragu because that is where people walked off to. And the TOs at Dargaragu wanted to remind people of that because there is kind of this focus on Kalkarindji as opposed to Dargaragu. And Dargaragu was where that's the heartbeat. That's where it came about, and that's where Vincent and all his comrades established community. And, you know, some amazing book launches, like really good politics. For me, that was the inspiring stuff, is hearing people talk about what, you know, what was done and what can we do now. And the other really major book launch was Yidjani, True Stories from Gurindji Country, and it's a bilingual, the bilingual book that is bringing oral histories that date back to the late 1800s when the stations were first set up out there, and Pat Dodson launched that. And I really encourage people, if they can, to have a look at that, because that is the stories, those are the stories from Gurindji. You know, it's not about Gurindji, it's told by Gurindji people.
Brenda, has anybody ever turned up from Vesti's family?
I think in the early days, certainly, and I don't know if anyone was there this time around. Yeah. There's a friend of mine was actually talking to me about some of the younger Vesti mob, and I wouldn't mind just sitting down and talking, you know, with them. I'd be really interested to know what was it like for them growing with that kind of legacy and heritage. And there are descendants of Vestis that still live in Australia. But, you know, having said that, the irony for me is when you drive up there, you go past the brand mark or the signage for the stations now. And Heytesbury, which is home to Court, owns a large number of stations in that region. Packer family owns a station in that region. And Gina Reinhart just bought two major stations, Riverin and Inverway Station. So really, they're just the new besties.
Wow. She's buying up everywhere, not just she's buying up pastoral stations now, right? And mining.
Yep.
So she's moving across the country and starting to buy up. Looks like she wants to buy up all the top end or buy up everything.
Well, I reckon it's not just for cattle; it's also vast mineral resources in those places. And so, yet again, we're just seeing a repeat of what has always been since colonisation here.
Yeah, well, it's going to be really interesting, you know, what's going to happen in the future. But is Gurindji land there pretty safe, you know, for the mob?
Well, they own Dargalagu.
Yeah.
The old mob owned Dargalagu. There's the 500 miles that was the original excision from Wave Hill. But, you know, people are still, they have to lease that. It's still under the intervention. There was no mention made of the intervention during the speeches, which is the other reason we were so angry. No mention of stolen Jan mob. And people at Kalkarangi, yes, that community is still leasing back its own land with its own money. I mean, they're having to pay, as far as I can understand, they're having to lease back out of the Aboriginal Benefits Account, yeah, which was established for Aboriginal people. And they're having to use that money to lease back that land.
Yeah, no,
and
it's incredible.
And there are blocks of land that have been developed there which you can buy for $25,000. Now, you tell me what blackfella has $25,000 to buy a block of land, let alone start building a house on it. And if you talk to a young nephew of mine, John Lehman, he set up his own little caravan at a place called Buttunga, which is just between Dargalagu and Kalkarangi, because he says, I'm going off-grid, Auntie. I refuse to pay to live on my country. He's got a little generator and a solar panel up there, and he, you know, because people still have to pay for all the resources, and food is still three times the cost of in town, as is petrol, so... You're always on the back foot out there.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because the ABA has been put into a Prime Minister and Cabinet now, and they are using that money.
Yeah,
not government money, but they're using Aboriginal money to give to other Aboriginal people.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
so those are our funds. Yeah. That is our money. It is not government funding, and they are using it. And when Broff was in, he used that in his seat over in Queensland. That is only ever meant to be used in the NT. He was never pulled up for doing it. So to me, that's corruption. I don't understand how that can just keep happening.
That's true. Also, too, Brenda, you know, you're an artist yourself. Have you got anything planned within your mind to, you know, to do something there photographic-wise or any other?
Well, I just had an exhibition. I had an exhibition up there over the weekend, which was part of the work from the show I did at, I think finishing this week at Stills Gallery in Sydney, because what I've been doing is working up with family for the last, really closely for the last 5 or so years on stuff for my PhD. So I wanted to take those photos, a lot of those photos back so people could see them and have a look at what I've been doing. And so I did two talks while I was up there, and family from community were there, as well as mob who... descendants of stolen generations who came along, and Robbie Mills was there, who helped me and my brother take Dad's ashes back home 20 years ago, and so that was really nice that he was able to see. And there was pictures of all the Carlin compound and Reda Dixon mob up here in Darwin. So just trying to remind people of those connections.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, we know it, we all know that, but reminding non-Indigenous people that, you know, we're not separate from here. Yeah. We come here all the time. As do all of us. We know who our mob are and where our country is, and we move around. And I mean, maybe it's because I'm in my 50s and I don't really give a rat's anymore, but we just can't shut up about that, you know, being told when our place is to speak, because we will never have a place. They will never allow us a place to speak.
Yeah.
So I do that through visual means, through written word and through spoken word.
No, I think it's great that you were meant to be like that through your dad. I still, every time you mention your dad, I just see his image there. And I've got some great photos of him as well, over the years. But, you know, I'm glad that you were able to take him back home, take his ashes back home. That
and we put a plaque on his grave site on the weekend, which was really wonderful. There was a family from community was there, as well as other people. And, you know, that was just really... really special, and my brother was there with his little kids, and the two elders, that's their second time back, and the youngest one is three, her first time, and everybody, you know, everybody knows their family, and they'll be able to keep going back there because that's where their grandfather's buried.
Fantastic. Hey, look, Brenda, thank you very much for coming on. I wished I could have been there, but the images that I saw over the weekend that people were putting up on Facebook and that were, that was quite incredible. But once again, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thanks so much, Lola.
Later, Lola, yeah. I do the same thing. No, I'm looking
so
forward.
Tired. Yeah. I'm so tired. I spent 12 hours on the road yesterday. So.
Oh, yeah, but it's in country. It's in country, girl.
I know. It's so amazing.
Look, I'm going to play a song here from Kerri-Anne Cox, Stronger Journey, oh. Never Longer. And, hey,
thank
big
you,
congratulations.
Darling.
You take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
See you soon. Love
yeah.
you.
Love you too. Bye for now.
Bye.
And that was Brenda Croft, Gurindji woman there, was up there at the 50th anniversary of the Wave Hill Walk-Off, and they had a fantastic festival over the weekend, and they had a couple of book launches as well. And you're listening to Black Chat here. We're almost to the top of the hour. We'll be shortly going to the news, but don't forget today in Brisbane, they've got the world's first Nations Traditional Knowledge Conference happening up there at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre down there at South Bank. And tomorrow on the program, I'll be talking to Troy Cassidaly, who his album will be out on the 26th of August. So, yeah, interesting tomorrow. So, hey, have a great day, and I'll be back again tomorrow here on the National Indigenous Radio Service. You're tuned into Black Chat here. I'm your host, Lola Forrester. Taking us to the top of the hour is Kerri-Anne Cox.